We are going through the book of 1 Corinthians, verse by verse, week after week, and we've made it to chapter 9. Our passage today is going to be verses 15 to 18. Last week, Greg preached on verses 1 to 14, and he said how it was difficult looking at those verses without looking at the conclusion at the end. So likewise, it's kind of difficult talking about the conclusion without looking at the first 14 verses. So I'll read verses 1 to 18 so we get a bit more context, but our passage will be 15 to 18. So verse 1, Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is there only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." Back in chapter 8, where this whole section of scripture began, because it doesn't start here, it's not a new section in chapter 9, it all began back in chapter 8. The issue that Paul was dealing with, the issue that the church was dealing with, was, were they allowed to eat food that had been sacrificed to idols? That was the question. And most of the Corinthians were saying, look, we're Christians. We don't have food laws. We know that all other religions have food laws. They tell you what to eat, when to eat it. Christianity doesn't have food laws, so we're allowed to eat whatever we want, so we can eat food that has been sacrificed to idols. And Paul says to them, look, of course you have the right to eat whatever you want. There's no question about that. It's not a sin to eat whatever you want. But just because you have the right to do something, just because you have the freedom to do something, doesn't mean that it's necessarily the best idea to do it, just because you can do it. This freedom of theirs, this right that they had to eat whatever they wanted, was causing some other Christians to stumble. And so Paul says, just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should be doing it. And as Greg pointed out last week, said excellently, as Christians, we should be willing to give up personal rights, personal freedoms, personal benefits for the spiritual benefit of others. This is the lesson. Being able to say, just because I can do this, Doesn't mean I have to. Maybe I need to put it aside for the spiritual good of others. And so Paul says, let me give you an example. Because they've been talking about food sacrifice idols, but he says, let me give you an example. And he uses himself as an example. And he says, I'm going to tell you all about the rights that I have as a preacher, as an apostle, as a teacher of the gospel. Let me tell you the rights that I have that yet I have laid aside for the sake of others. Last week, verses 1 to 14, he talks about his right to be supported for the ministry. He says, don't I have the right to eat or drink? Don't I have the right to be supported in my family and so forth? And he gave a long list of reasons why the Corinthians should support him in the ministry. He says, I have this right. But I want you to notice something in verse 12. In the middle of verse 12, he said this. Nevertheless, even though he has the right to be supported by them, he says, nevertheless, we have not used this right. Why, Paul? But we endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. That's why. I have the right to do this, but I'm not taking that right. Why? Because it may hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, he doesn't explain how or why, but I have a pretty solid, educated guess, shall we say, how this could hinder the gospel. Let me give you a really quick example. Let's assume that you have a friend that you've been trying to witness to, and you sit down one day, and you explain the gospel, and they get it, and they believe, and they repent, and they say, yes, I see it now. I see that I'm a sinner, and I repent, and I need Christ, and He's my only hope. And you say, fantastic, let's pray together. And you pray, and you're crying because you're so happy that the person's been saved. And then you say to them, now, I need some money for the ministry, for the church. Now, isn't it true that the church and the ministry need to be supported? Sure. But would that be the wisest move at that moment? No, it would actually be a really dumb move at that moment. And something that we see time and time again is that when Paul goes somewhere new and he is dealing with a young church and he is establishing a new church, he works. He doesn't accept their support. Because here's the thing, since the beginning of time, there are religious crooks and charlatans who use God for the money all the time. Now they've made a whole big thing out of it, which we call the prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel, where they pretty much come out and say, yeah, give me your money and then God will bless you. And since the beginning of time, people have known that there's all these crooks, and so you have all these people who are not religious saying, ah, you see, religious teachers, all they want is your money. And Paul knows this very well. And so he says, I don't want to hinder the gospel. I don't want to do anything that will cause any obstacle to me preaching the gospel. So I didn't take any of the money. I didn't ask for anything. Later, down in verse 23, we'll get to this next week, he says, now this I do for the gospel's sake. Everything he does is for the gospel's sake. It's not about, well, what do I deserve? What's my right? What should I? No. What's going to benefit the preaching of the gospel? That's my concern. Now, as a quick side note, to be clear, because I don't want to be misunderstood. Paul is not saying that all Christian workers are to adopt this policy. In fact, he says that the other apostles were being supported. He says that earlier. He says the other apostles and Cephas and the brothers of the Lord. There are some in Corinth already, apparently, who are being supported by the church. And elsewhere he says that, like 1 Timothy, he explains that elders and so forth should be supported. And he himself depending on the occasion, did accept support. He wasn't against that. But when he did, it was from more mature, established churches, and not from young churches that didn't know as well. Let me show you one passage. Hold your place right here and go to 2 Corinthians for a moment, chapter 11, and we'll come right back. And verse 7, Paul says, "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself." He's like, when I was with you, Corinthians, I never accepted anything. In fact, the churches in Macedonia took care of me. You didn't take care of me, they took care of me. They helped. So he's not against being supported, but if he believes that being supported financially by the church may cause a hindrance to the gospel, he lays it aside. So I won't take anything. I'll sit and I will work as a tent maker all day and then preach all any time that I can so as to not cause any trouble to the gospel for the sake of the gospel. Now let's look at the text now. 1 Corinthians 9. After having explained all the rights that he has, in verse 15, he says, "But I have used none of these things." Okay? I have all these rights, but I'm not using them. Okay? Then he says, "Nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me." Sometimes, just mentioning something can make it seem like you're asking. There's a reason why I didn't preach last Sunday. I was speaking with Greg and I was going through this text and I was like, man, this is going to be so awkward. I feel so awkward to stand up and say, well, you need to be paying the preacher. And he's like, do you want me to do it? And I was like, no, I can do it. And then later on I was like, yeah, you do it. So that's why Greg preached on this passage last week. And Paul wants to make it clear. Paul wants to make it clear. I'm not saying all these things so that you'll start sending me money now. I don't want your money. He says, I don't want your money. He says, it would be better for me to die. It would be better for me to die that anyone should make my boasting void. Now, as soon as you hear the word boasting, you're like, oh, that doesn't sound good. That sounds like someone who's proud and arrogant and bragging about himself. But the word doesn't always have to have this negative, sinful idea to it. It can be used. Well, in the King James, it says, my glorying. I don't want anyone to take away my glorying. Sometimes it could be translated to rejoice, or to something that you really love, something that you're really excited about. And so what Paul is saying in verse 15, he's like, I didn't take your money, I don't want it now, I'd rather die, and I don't want anyone to take this away from me. What? I don't want anyone to take away from me the fact that I don't do it for money. I don't want your money, because then I'd be doing it for money, and I don't want it. I am happy to do it free of charge. And he explains further. Look at this. Verse 16. He says, If I preach the gospel, which he does, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He says, look, I can't boast for preaching the gospel. Right? That is something that I didn't even choose to do this. if you think about it, the other apostles were something of, say, volunteers. We know at least two or three of them, you know, were following John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." They're like, "All right, we're following him." And the rest of the apostles, they were with Jesus for years. And so there was something of volunteers. That is not what happened with Paul at all. Paul was on his way to kill Christians when Jesus knocked him over, and in one big dramatic event, both saves him and makes him an apostle. He wasn't expecting this at all. In Acts 26, when Paul is talking about what happened, Jesus said to him, "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of the things that you have seen and the things that I will show you." So Paul is like, look, I can't boast for preaching the gospel. All right, it wasn't even my idea to begin with. Jesus grabbed me and he told me to preach, so I'm doing it. Okay, I'm doing it. I didn't volunteer for that. In Galatians 1, he says, "God separated me from my mother's womb and called me to preach him amongst the Gentiles." Paul's like, look, I'm not doing this for the money. It wasn't even my decision. It wasn't my choice. I can't boast about anything that... I can't boast about preaching the gospel. All right, I didn't volunteer for this. God said, you're doing this. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet. If you know the scriptures, you may be thinking Jeremiah, but I'm not thinking about Jeremiah right now. Prophet Amos. He was a shepherd. My translation says a sheep breeder. He's just a shepherd taking care of sheep, and God says, "You're going to be my prophet." And he's like, "Okay." And in Amos chapter 3, he says, "A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Amos is like, "Look, God told me to prophesy. I'm doing it." Okay. We're leaving it at that. And Paul is saying the same thing. Look, I'm not boasting about preaching the gospel. God told me to preach the gospel, I do it. Same thing. And then verse 17, he keeps on going, and he uses imagery that he has been using many times already in the letter of a free man and a slave. And look what he says in verse 17. "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." Now, just as a quick side note, to be clear, Paul is not saying that he doesn't want to preach the gospel, that he's not interested in preaching the gospel, that he doesn't enjoy preaching the gospel. All he's saying is that he did not volunteer for this. It wasn't his will. It wasn't one day he said, "I'm going to become a preacher." No. God made him. God compelled him to preach. And so he says, if I do this willingly, and his point is I didn't do it willingly, God told me to do it, I have a reward. It's like if you're a free man, you can choose to do whatever job you want. And then you get paid for it. You get a reward. But if not willingly, like if you're a slave and you're just told you're doing this, you don't get to decide. God made me into a preacher and I'm doing it. He says, if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. The Greek there, oikonomia, the oikonomos of a house, was a slave of the house who was entrusted with all kinds of responsibilities in the house. And it was his job to do it. And Paul says, I'm going to do it. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I don't even want to think about what would happen to me if I didn't do this. God told me to do it, so I'm doing it. So he says, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm a slave of Christ as he told me. So then in verse 18, finally, he says, what is my reward then? If preaching is a given, I'm going to do that. I had no choice. If you didn't volunteer, what do you get out of this, Paul? Do you get anything out of it? He's like, oh yes, I do. I do get something out of it. What do you get? Listen to this. That when I preach the gospel, because that's a given. We're doing that. No question. But here's my reward. That when I do that, I may present the gospel without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. I'm looking at every commentary in the world And every commentary, they're like, this is a bit confusing. It seems that he is saying, preaching free of charge is the reward in itself. That's what I... Do you know what I love? I love the fact that I don't get to be paid for preaching. He enjoys preaching free of charge. I don't want your money because I enjoy doing it without money. I enjoy, here's what I enjoy. Being able to put aside my right for the sake of the gospel. I know that what's most important is the gospel. I know what's most important is the preaching of the gospel. So I am more than happy, and I boast in this, rejoice in this, that I can say, you know what? No, I don't take money. I just do it. I just do it for the sake of the gospel. See, this is how he shows the love that he has for people. Because think about this. This decision, when he has the right to get paid, this decision to not focus on, to not get paid, is going to cost him money. It's going to cost him tons of time. It's going to cost him tons of effort and labor. But he knows that all these difficulties that are going to come upon him by not accepting support, he knows that all these difficulties that are going to come upon him are going to make it easier to preach the gospel. So he says, I'll leave it. I'll do it. I'll do it for the gospel. There's this old song. Well, old, depending on how old you are. There's this old song by Joni Mitchell. And she, in this song, she's talking about how she's walking along the street. And she sees a guy playing the clarinet. And he's doing it for free. He's playing wonderful music, but he's not taking any money. He's not asking for any money. And she's sitting there and thinking about her life as a musician. And she says, I only play music for money. I go where they pay me. I go to concerts because they pay me. I go and do TV shows because they pay me. They send me limousines and I go and I sing because they pay me. But this guy, he's just doing it for the love of music. He just loves to play. He loves the music, and so he just does it. He doesn't care about being paid. And she's sitting there, kind of thinking about the authenticity of that. He's not a sellout. He's not doing it for the money. He's doing it because he loves it. Because he wants to do it. And Paul here is showing us that even though he didn't volunteer for this, even though God told him that he has to preach, he's like, I'm not going to do it for the money. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm doing it for the money, because I care. And he cares so much that he's willing to put aside all his rights for their good, because he wants to see more people come to the Lord. And that's the point of the whole chapter. That's the point of this chapter. That's the point of much of the previous chapter. That's much of the point for the next chapter. What we said last week, what we're saying again now. It's about being willing, as a Christian, to give up your own physical benefits for the sake of the spiritual benefit of others. Whether it is a believer that you want to see grow and mature, or whether it's an unbeliever you want to see him hear the gospel and get saved, Paul says, look, if it's between my rights and the spiritual benefit of someone else, it's not even a choice. It's not even an issue. It's not even an issue. What I do for the sake of the gospel. So that's the question for all of us. Is that our mindset? Is that how you navigate through life? when you're faced with a decision, do you say, well, is this going to benefit the gospel or not? That's the issue. For everything that we do, he does for the sake of the gospel. Look, life would be so much easier if the Bible gave us a long list of every single thing that we're supposed to do during the day. If it said, get up at this time, have this to eat, go do this job. When someone says this to you, you say this. When someone says that to you, you say that. Eat this, eat that, dress this way. But it doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't do that. We have to make decisions all day long. All day long, every day, I heard someone say that we make 35,000 decisions every day. And for the vast majority of those, the Bible is not giving you explicit commands on how to do it. So what do you do? How do you decide how I'm going to live my life? The end of this passage, at the end of chapter 10, is the very famous verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're eating or drinking, the most mundane, simple, everyday things that you do in life that you don't even think about, whatever it is that you're doing, do for the glory of Christ. Do for the glory of God. Which means what? I can't just say, oh, this is just an everyday, simple thing that we just do and move on. You have to stop and think. Which is why I said it would be so much easier if you just had a list, checklist, do this, 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 this. But it's not like that. We have to stop and think now. What are we going to do? With the 35,000 decisions that we make every day, what do? And here's the principle. The principle is this going to promote the gospel or is it going to hinder the gospel? That is our responsibility. That's the question. Is it going to further the kingdom of God or is it going to put obstacles for people entering the kingdom of God? And even if I have the right to do this, maybe it would be better to lay it aside for the good of the gospel. This is the principle. I'm going to close. This is the principle that touches literally. People don't know how to use the word literally anymore and they use it whenever. But this is something that touches literally every decision that you make in your life. Everything. Is what I'm doing helping the kingdom of God or hindering it? That's the question. This is a lifestyle. I'm not going to sit here and give you rules about what you can or cannot do. This is a lifestyle. This is sacrificing yourself for the sake of the gospel. This is taking up your cross and following Jesus. This is seeking first, before everything else, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what it's about. So let's pray that the Lord would help us.